I'd like to turn us to turn our Bibles in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 13. We have a series of some Bible reading to do today. And I just want us to read. This is one of the scriptures that we are going to speak about today. Today, I want to bring a message that I put a title on it, and I've called it A Believer's Staying Power. A Believer's Staying Power. Can you say that with me? A Believer's Staying Power. Can you say that again? Okay, A Believer's Staying Power. Amen. Now, what do I mean by this? You'll be able to know this in a little bit. But let's first of all read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." Keep going. "So the body is not one, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it is still belongs to the body." Keep going. "And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it is still belongs to" what? "The body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were an eye, if everything within a body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be?" Okay. "Now there are many parts, yet one body." Okay. "So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, all the more, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our presentable parts have a better presentation." Praise the Lord. This will be our last verse. "But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable." Let's stop up to there. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, you sneered this text into my heart, Lord, on Friday. And there's something that you've spoken to me through your Holy Spirit, Lord, even to deliver to us today. I pray that our hearts shall be alert and attentive to your word. I pray that this word will not be stolen by the enemies of God. That Father God will be educated today, will be reminded of what you'd love us to be listening to this time. I am thankful, Father, for what you have done. We give you the glory and honor. In this few minutes that I take, Lord, I pray that you shall use my mouth as an instrument, Father, to deliver your word even to your people. Glorify yourself, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A believer's staying power. How many of you remember the days when we were back in Africa? We used to have some batteries we used to call ever-ready batteries. You remember those? And they used to be known as to have packer power. I don't even know why they used to call to have to, you know, they used to call to net. Every time they would advertise those batteries, they would say that these batteries have a packer power. You know, they say naturally that a cat has how many lives? A cat has how many lives? 9. You can hit a cat and it will still struggle and wake up. You can hit it again and it will still struggle and wake up. They used to say that those batteries have a pack of power. And those batteries were really very popular. You know, you'd go to a shop, you'd not want to buy any other batteries. Why? Because they had a staying power. Amen? They had what? Staying power. You'd put them in your cassette player or a radio. You'd know that the radio will keep on playing and playing and playing for a long time because of the power that were in those batteries as compared to the power in other batteries. Ever ready had a staying power. But a time would come, even though they were saying that these batteries were ever ready, where the power would go, right? And you had to go to a shop to go buy some other batteries so that you can keep listening to your popular music or to your popular whatever you are using, you know, that like a spotlight. You know, at that point, those batteries will be extinct and you'll be forced to go and buy some other batteries. Amen? So this morning, I want us to talk about our spiritual staying power. The batteries, our spiritual battery staying power. Amen? Now, for those of us who have familiarized themselves with the Malaysian airplane, and by the way, I know there are people who are really constantly following on what is happening. One time, I hear that they have found some debris in the Indian Ocean. And actually, it's really agonizing for those families of the people who whose families lost their lives in that plane. Please be praying for them. It's such an agonizing thing. Now, this is unprecedented search whereby almost every other country is helping out. And the other day I was just thinking about it and I'm saying, wow, how amazing it is that every country, you know, unites together in tragedy, you know? And I like it, you know, the United States, the Australian government, you know, the British Royal Air Force, and many countries have forgotten about their differences, and they are coming together just because of this flight that was lost in the sea. And one of the things that they are saying is, I was just reading about it, maybe two days ago, but the last time I was reading about it, they were saying that time is in the essence, because the black box that is in the plane has some batteries that would really go out of power within a few days. And the black box is equipped with a transponder that sends out a ping or a signal so that it will be recognized where it is. And so many countries are working now tirelessly because time is of the essence. They are saying in a few days, when those batteries go out, what will happen? They will stop sending the signals, and so it will be even more difficult to search for this plane, you know, in the midst of a very humongous sea. So they are working tirelessly because, and I think they were saying that China, one of the ships in China have received a signal that corresponds with the waves, or kind of like a microwave signal that is sent out by a ping. And so they have identified the locale of where that signal is coming for. And I think they were all converging to that area so that they can get into the depth of the sea to see whether they can find that airplane. In other words, there are batteries that are connected to that black box that have a certain limit of their staying power. Amen? Their power would never be limitless. There would come a time when the batteries would drain out and it would stop sending out the signals. And on Friday when I came up here and I was praying and we were in the presence of the Lord, let me tell you, one of the most, I wouldn't say agonizing things is when I wait upon the Lord to give me a message so that I can come and deliver on Sunday. I know to some preachers it is very easy, you know, they would just go to their Bibles and they would find a message like this. But for me, I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Anything that I stand on the pulpit to speak to the people of God, God would have first deposited in my life. And he would just give me one word and I'll develop it from there. You know, I've never been used since I got born again or since I started to minister, you know, to flip over the Bible or to close my eyes and say, wherever the Bible goes, that's where I'm going to preach. Somebody told me one day that there are people who do that. But you know, I feel I have to wait upon the Holy Spirit to tell me what you want me to communicate to the people of God. And sometimes it just comes so easily. And sometimes I have to tarry in the presence of the Lord. And I'm asking him every day. Monday when comes and I don't have the message, I'm telling you, Daddy, remember, Sunday's approaching. Tuesday, when I don't have a message, remember, Lord, Sunday, I need you to give me the message, what you want me to speak to the people. And sometimes it doesn't take place until the last minute. And on Friday when I was in prayer, I had the Lord telling me the staying power of a believer. Amen? And that is what I want us to study even or to look at in the next few minutes that we have. Now, I was wanting to know what it meant by the staying power of a Christian. And this is what I felt that the Spirit of God was telling me. I don't know, but I felt this is like this was the inspiration that was being driven into my spirit. And this is what I wrote. It is the activated divine ability in a believer's life which actively responds to the call of ministry in their lives. I'll repeat again. The staying power of a Christian is the activated divine ability in a believer's life which actively responds to the call of ministry in their lives. And as we have just spoken, we've read the word in the book of 1 Corinthians, there is nobody who has been baptized in the body of Jesus Christ who doesn't have an assignment to do. Amen? As long as you are a believer, you have God has given you a gift. He has given you a responsibility. He has given you an assignment. Little as it may be, you have an assignment to do. Amen? No one is a vestigial organ. You know what? In the body, we've read about the body. The body is just one whole, but it's made out of many, many parts. But show me a member of your body that doesn't have a function in your body. Every organ in your body, every part in your body has a function. And the function, every function in your body has a distinctive function that it does that is unsimilar to what other part of your body does. Is that not true? And in the same way, in the body of Christ, we've all been baptized into, the Bible says that we've all been baptized into this body of Christ. And we have all been baptized, Greeks, Jews, people who are from different kinds of color, different parts of the world. We all have been baptized, whether we have believers in China, whether we have believers in Bolivia, whether we have believers in Kenya, whether we have believers in Australia. We all have been baptized into this one body, and each and every single one of us have an assignment, just as every part of our body has an assignment. Amen? And it is our duty and call to recognize what God has called you. Now, the responsibilities or assignments that God has dished out to various parts of the body might be different from all other responsibilities. They are not all similar. There are some that God has called to be encouragers. There are some who have been gifted, you know, to just sing. There are people who have been being gifted to serve. There are people who have been given the gift of interpretation of the scriptures. There are people who, when they stand, their personality and their aura. Each one of us has a different gift and assignment. God never baptizes you into his body and causes you to just sit and be ministered to. You need, as a believer, to find some role that you can do in order to fulfill your purpose here on earth. Can somebody say a big amen? Hallelujah. So everyone has a function. Everyone has an assignment in the body. Praise be to God. And God has also created an atmosphere whereby there's not supposed to be any lone ranger in the body. Just as the organs of the body are interdependent upon each other, are you listening to me? So also are the parts who we are that are baptized in the body of Jesus Christ supposed to be interdependent with each other. There are no lone rangers. I know we used to watch those movies back in the day when, you know, where you used to see lone rangers, you know, the rangers. You remember those movies? And you'd find somebody just walking alone. In the Lord, there is not meant to be any person who is supposed to be a lone ranger. We are interdependent. We are supposed to depend upon the other. Amen? Because God knows there's a time whereby you're going to feel so discouraged. There's a time whereby you're going to feel like, oh, I cannot even make it. And at that time, God would have prepared another member to come and jack you up and tell you, hey, we have to carry on. Amen? See how your eyes are placed in the body, how your ears are placed in the body, how the parts of your body are placed in the body. They take care of each other. When there is danger that comes to attack the entire body, there is a part in your body that sees that danger. And that communicates with the head and tells it, hey, you know what? Some parts of the body need to take action right now.
Are you listening to me? It is the responsibility of the eyes to see the danger. The feet, your feet never sees the danger. Let me tell you, if the feet were the ones responsible to see the danger, you'll be killed. Nobody will be here. But your eyes are placed in the position in your body so that they are able to see the danger. And they tell the head, hey, you know what? You need to activate. You need to activate some parts of the body to run. And the feet says, oh, yes, sir, I hear that. And I'm telling the feet right now to carry the whole body and to run away because I don't want the body to be destroyed. That is how God has created us to work together in the body of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be interdependent with each other. Praise the Lord. When one is under attack, no, not everybody is under attack. So those who are not in under attack are supposed to fight, and fight on behalf of that believer who is under attack so that they might receive their freedom. Praise be to God. Man, let me tell you, there's some kind of birds that come into Texas. I don't know whether you've seen these birds. They flock in many of them, black ones, you know. And they're in the cities. In fact, they're in the parking lots of Walmart. Sometimes they come, trying to get some bags from. Have you seen those birds? Let me tell you. One day in Arlington, I was in a parking lot of a Walmart, and one of the birds was injured. You know, it was injured, and I wondered. I mean, how did God give even these little creatures, you know, the brain of trying kind of to come and console these other birds? And so this bird was limping. It was like a little bird, but one of the families, you know. And it was limping. And I saw these other birds. You know, you could really tell that they are mourning. And they will come and surround. You know, it's like they are trying to kind of like to blow their feathers towards this young bird. It's like they are saying, if I can pick, if we can pick it up and take it to the hospital. You know? But they were making a lot of noise. And they were making a lot of noise surrounding this bird. And I said, God, how awesome you are that you have even put even into the lesser creatures about how much we need to take care of each other. Amen? And I couldn't resist but to watch at the whole episode, and they stayed there for a long time. And, you know, as they were continuing to make these shrieks and quicks, I could see other birds also. It's like they were sending a signal. And I could see more birds coming in, and as the other birds would come in, they would start shrieking and quick. Squeaking, and they'll try to kind of like do this sorrowful dance kind of to console this one of them who was injured. And I said, God, if birds of the air can learn this trick, how much more we as Christians, we need to carry the burdens of one another. How much more we need to know what is, when you don't find somebody in the church, do you sometimes feel the burden of picking up the phone and calling them and finding out what is going on? Or do you think that it is the only work of the pastors or the ministry that is concerned with outreach that needs to call them? No. It is our responsibility. When you don't see somebody in the church, pick up the phone, call them, find out what they are doing. Find out what is happening. We are supposed to carry the burdens of one another, praise be to God. So we need to know, we need to be aware that God has not called us in his body to be lone rangers, praise be to God. Amen. Now, what would cause us, or in other words, let me say this. In order for us to know how much or the limit or the amount or the measure of our staying power, there are certain things that we need to find out about that we need to familiarize ourselves. Amen? Each one of us, God has placed a staying power. How much is your staying power? How much, when the Bible says in the book of Chronicles that my eyes range out through the face of the earth looking for somebody whose batteries are fully charged that I may use them for this purpose, is God going to find that battery to have been fully charged? Or will he find your battery, you know, out of charge and he cannot use it? Praise be to God. Let me tell you, it's a dangerous thing to go out without a phone that doesn't have a charge. And worse, if you don't have a car charger, because you might miss an appointment, you might miss a call from somebody, and every time we try to make sure that you have a charger or you have a device so that you can be connected to the power. Praise be to God. Number one, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 6, verse number 28. Can we go there? The book of John, chapter number 6. verse number 28. Now, if you go there, this is before you can even read this scripture. This is a time when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, okay? And, you know, Jesus performs a miracle to the amazement of the disciples. And when they had witnessed this humongous miracle, the disciples of the Jesus' disciples, they come to him and they're asking him a question. What can we do to perform the works of God? You know, what must we do? I mean, how can we perform a miracle like what you have performed? How can we be so connected to the Father so that we can do the things that you have done right now? And he tells them, he answers them, and he says, and this is the work of God, that you may believe in the one who he has sent. In other words, he tells them, if you read the preceding verses, he tells them that you should not work for food that just is temporary, but rather you need to work for food that would last to eternal life. And he tells them, and they're asking him, what must we do to do the works of God? What must we do to do the works of the Lord? You may have witnessed a miracle somewhere. You may have witnessed other people getting so committed, maybe even in the third world countries, or just surrendering their life to the Lord. And you wonder, and you're seated down, then you wonder, oh, can I rise to that level whereby I can impact somebody's life? This was the position of the disciples. And they're asking their master, what must we do to do the works of the Lord? And this is the reply that Jesus gave them. He told them, this is the work of God. Somebody say, this is the work of God. That you believe in the one he has sent. That you believe in the work, the one that he has sent. Now, when I read this scripture, I said, okay, if this is the work of the Lord, then all I need to do, what he said, what must I do in order to do the work of the Lord? Okay? And Jesus tells them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. That sounds easy, right? It sounds easy to you. But then the Holy Spirit was asking me, what does it mean when you say that you believe in the one that he has sent? What happens when you believe in something? What happens when you believe in your wife? What happens when you believe in your husband? What happens when you believe in an undertaking that you're carrying on in your life? What do? Do you just believe in it and that's it? But you give yourself, you completely yield yourself to it, right? If you're committed to going to school, you say, like you say this, I believe that the fruits of my labor will not come unless I work hard. I believe in hard work. You're not just going to stay like that, but you're gonna give your energies to it. You're going to give your life to it. You're going to commit yourself. You're going to be focused on what you're doing because you believe in it. Somebody say amen. Just because you believe in something, you're going to be completely yielded to that which you are committed to because you believe in it. So it is just more than believing in the one who sent. In other words, he's saying that if you believe in the one that he sent, you're going to be focused. You're going to be completely engrossed in his precepts. And you're going to not only just believe in your heart, but you're just going to take another step of pursuing him. You're going to take another step of doing what he tells you to do. That's what he meant. So what must we do to do the works of the Lord? Then he replies and says, this is the work of God, that you may believe in the one he has sent. Let me tell you, church, the moment you believe in the one he has sent, you will not sit just idle, but you will do whatever it takes to, because you believe in him, to fulfill his purpose in your life. Amen? You will do everything that is possible to fulfill whatever he tells you to do. You're not going to shy away because you believe in him. Amen? When you believe in something, when I believe in something, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize them because you believe in it. Amen? Whether it be a career, whether it be an undertaking, an undertaking, whether it may be an endeavor, you are going to completely be sold out to it so that you can ensure the success of whatever you believe in. Are you listening to me? So number one, very, very important. The Bible says that we must believe in him, and that will qualify us to have done the work of God. Amen? Number two, very, very important. We are talking about a believer's staying power. How can we maintain our staying power? our staying power, we have to come to the knowledge that, you know what, in order for us to be found doing the work of the Lord, we have to know that we believe in Him. And once we believe in Him, we are going to fulfill everything that He has stipulated for us to do and to accomplish. And number two, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, number 6, that without faith, we cannot do what? Without faith, it is impossible to do what? This is what the Bible says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is the and He rewards those who honestly seek Him. And we, the other son, I can't remember which one, but we talked extensively about faith. What faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise be to God. And the Lord is telling us that without faith, you cannot please Him. In other words, God responds to the faith in Him. It doesn't matter how much we might come here and clap our hands. It doesn't matter how much we can, you know, how much we can exert our energies. If we do not have faith, He will never respond to anything that we do to Him, because He is a spirit. Amen. Are you listening to me? God responds to faith. And the Bible says that each one of us has a measure of. Each one has a measure of. So we can activate the faith that we have, little as it may be, big as it might be. The Bible says that if you have as little faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and you can tell it to move from one location to another. So as long as you have some element that is that has chipped off God, it is not the smallness of it or the humongous of it. If you only have the slight, you know, essence of God in you, you can do wonders. Are you listening to me? And God says that if you are to do my works, if you are to do things that I will respond to, if you can go anywhere and yearn to be used mightily of God, you have to have the concept of faith. I respond to faith. I respond to that mustard seed faith that you have. If you can just activate it, then I will know. I will be connected to it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, I went to the book of James, chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 26. There's something that else that we need to know about the addition about this faith. It is not just enough, Pastor Francis, to say that I have faith. The Bible says that faith without, come on, finish it out with me. Faith without is dead. I'd like us to go there. I'd like, even if we just take a short time, just allow me. Let us read there. James chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 26. Listen to what the Bible says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have the works? Can faith save him? Listen, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of a daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace. Are we together? Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Right? In other words, it's very, very simple. Self-explanatory. You know, and have you not seen that in our Christian circles? Somebody comes and he is in need, and you say, we even pray in tongues. I declare it. And you know that you're within the reach of ministering to that person. For example, if somebody walks in here, he's hungry. Or you can tell that they are naked. Or, I mean, like they have, you know, tattered clothes, and they're just coming and telling you, oh, I've not eaten for many days. Or maybe you can tell that their shoes is actually at a 90, almost at a 90 angle. And they say, oh, is there anybody who can help me with the shoes? And you say, oh, you know what? We're going to pray for you, and the Lord is going to create a miracle. You, the reason why they've been sent to you, they would have been sent to somebody else. Are you listening to me? If you send them out, what is the depiction of your faith if we can just pray for them and tell them to go? Faith without works is what? Is dead. So that's what he's talking about. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace. Yeah? Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. But you do not give them the things
which are needed for the body, what does it profit? That's a scripture, by the way. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? It's dead. So faith, in order for faith to be validated, it has to be accompanied by work. It's not just enough to say that, oh, we have faith. I have faith, I can speak to this thing. But it has to be accompanied by some works. If God has asked you to go out and help out somebody, it is that faith is going to be validated by you lifting up your feet. I don't want to say what the Americans say. Lift up yourself, get out yourself out of your seat, and go and do what the Lord has done. What? Then they are going to validate the faith that they have given you. Are you listening to me? Why are you laughing? But somebody will say, you have faith and have works. That's verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. That's James saying this. You believe that there is one God, and that's a true statement, right? But the Bible says, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Did you know that the demons believe that there is a God in heaven? They believe that there is a Jesus in heaven? Do you know that demons believe that Jesus Christ died for the sake of humanity? You also believe it. So he says that, even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, oh foolish man? Now this is, remove the foolish, because this is not you. It's for another person, that's not just within. But you do not know. But I'm reading from the word. I didn't call you foolish. I don't want somebody to just say, our pastor is calling people foolish. I'm just reading the scripture. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? Are you listening to me? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. By works, faith was made perfect. So in other words, like we are saying here in the church, we need Sunday school children. We need somebody to rise up who has faith. You cannot come and tell me that, oh, brother, oh, pastor, you know what? I have faith. I need to see the works of that faith. I need somebody to lift themselves out of their chair and go teach them the Sunday school. That is when their faith is going to be validated. Amen? See, last Sunday, we said that all the leaders, and by the way, the leaders will be coming here 30 minutes prior to church, and they'll be coming to pray. Thank God. And this morning we had some leaders. And next Sunday, I know we are going to have all of them coming. Maybe they forgot. See, they have faith. But having faith, they need to take a step of faith and commit themselves to what they said. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Am I preaching? No, by the way, I'm not asking those who said they were going to come and they never showed up. But because we held hands. But for faith to be validated, even as a leader, we have to wake up early in order for that faith to be validated. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Oh my goodness, listen to this. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not only by faith only. It is scripture. Hiya. I'm reading from the Bible. This is, by the way, I copied and pasted from the Bible. So don't say that I'm reading just from a paper. It is a scripture. You can even read there, right? And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen? We are talking about our spiritual batteries, the sustenance of the staying power of our spiritual batteries. We cannot please God without faith. But also, we just not need to have only faith by it alone. We need to accompany it with some works. Praise the Lord. What a perfect environment that God has given you and me.
in the Empowerment Christian Center that we, you know, you have a man of God who can tell us that, you know what, on Wednesday, on Thursday, we have a Bible study. That is an area that you can volunteer yourself to be coming in and exercise the works of your faith. Amen? You can decide that, you know what, every Sunday, I'll be going to church. It's not only the leaders. Sometimes we miss it because, you know, sometimes we are waiting. Listen, somebody was just encouraging me the other day. He was telling us that sometimes we wait on God while God is waiting on us. You know? And as we are going to see maybe next Sunday, sometimes God is waiting on us, but we are waiting on Him. He has prepared everything. Did you know that Jesus causes us, the Bible says that Jesus is at work in us and causes us to do and to will according to His. Yeah. The Bible says that Jesus is at work in us, right? And He does what? He causes us to will and to do His will. But if He is at work with us, He has to cooperate with us. We have to be in cooperation. We have to be in cahoots with Him, because He might be coming and telling you, oh, I'm knocking. But you know what? You are not even aware that He is there. So it's good for us to know that He is at work in us and He is causing us. He is kind of as compelling us to do His will. I mean, He is causing that for us to be willed to do His purpose and to do it. But you know what? The reason why things never happen is because He is compelling you to do it, but you're not even recognizing it. Are you listening to me? Do you still love me? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. How am I? Yeah? Gotcha. Okay, I'm almost concluding. So, He is saying, I'm waiting on you. I wish you can see how ready I'm prepared to send you and to dispatch you to a brother so-and-so who is really in need of an encouragement. But because you are so much engrossed in so many other things, there are so many voices that you are listening to. There's one still voice that is speaking to you, but it is already overwhelmed. You cannot listen to it because there are so many voices that are speaking to you. But God is saying, I wish you can filter out all those other voices and listen to what I'm telling you, because when you do it, somebody else is going to be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking about a believer's staying power. And allow me just read one more scripture and we are going to be done. We shall continue next week. The other scripture is found in the book of Philippians 2, verse number 13. This is going to be my last scripture. And we just read this. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence. See, this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. And he's admonishing them. He's telling them, I know that you have obeyed when I was in your presence. But much more, I would need you to be obedient, even in my absence. Praise the Lord. In my absence, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Who is supposed to work their fear and trembling? I mean, who is supposed to work out their salvation? Come on, if you believe it, say it. Who is supposed to work out their salvation? Who is supposed to do it? Is it God? Is it Pastor Tony? It is us. Even me. God has called me. In fact, it has to begin with me. I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And how do you work out your fear and how do you work out your salvation in fear and trembling? It is by reading His word and doing what He says. Simple as that. Reading His word and doing what He says. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Amen? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. We started by saying that the first concept that we saw there was we must be aware that we have to do His work. As the believers came and asked, the disciples came and asked Jesus, okay, what must we do to do the works of the Lord? We have to know that when we believe in Him, we are going to go extend ourselves, our tentacles to the work that He has placed in our lives.
And as I told you, every single one of us has an assignment, has a gift that he has to accomplish. So we have to believe in him. Praise the Lord. In order to maintain our batteries, charge. For the eyes of the Lord range out throughout the face of the earth. If the Lord will find your batteries uncharged, guess what? How will he use you? Because he's looking for batteries that are charged. Praise the Lord. Amen. So number two, we've learned that without faith, God responds to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And faith without works is dead. Those are the things that are going to ensure. When you have this at the back of your mind, knowing that, you know what, I have to use my faith in order for God to respond to the work that I'm going to perform in his body, and not just faith, but I need to accompany it with some works, then you'll be working towards, you'll be connected to the source of your power, and then your batteries will be stayed, will be charged continuously. Praise be to God. And number three, we found out that we have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, and that we have to recognize that God is the one who is at work in us. He is at work in us to both will and to do his will. Amen? Very, very, very important. So when we know those concepts, and there are many other concepts, but I just chose those three, they will prepare us to ensure that our batteries are completely charged. And next week, we're going to ask ourselves, are our spiritual batteries, the power in our spiritual batteries, are they measurable? Can we quantify them? I believe the answer is yes. You know why I'm saying that? Because why do we find people who are baptized in the body of Jesus Christ doing more and others are just reluctant? There's something that they are doing or connecting to God in a special way or responding in a special way to the Lord, that the Lord is using them, or they are doing more for the Lord because it's something, an experience that they've had, as opposed to the person who just wakes up in the morning and goes about their day without even, you know, having prayer, or they don't even have a burden for the work of the ministry. There's a difference right there. Amen. And we are going to determine, is this power, the staying power in a believer, is it measurable? Maybe say, like, for example, from 1 to 10, can we say that maybe Pastor Chi has a 9, he's level 9, or maybe Pastor Francis is level 10, or maybe can we say that Shiro is on level 8, or can you say Pastor Tony is on level 4? And how can we ensure so that we are the top level? You know, how can we know that we are the top level? And then when God's eyes are ranging throughout the face of the earth, they're going to find somebody and say, oh yes, my eyes, my focus right now is on Sam. And I can see that his batteries are charged. And he's coming to somebody like Pastor Tony and he's realizing, oh, the kind of work that I want to do with him, I want to accomplish, he is on level 4. I don't think he is really ready. But he still has the ability and he has the propensity to raise it up to 9. And once it is up to that level, then I'll be able to use him. Are you listening to me? So God is calling us to a position whereby we can be ready at all times. And this is what we are trying to enlighten ourselves. Because I believe when we learn that, when we know the truth shall set us free. Amen? Shall we stand on our feet, please? I wish I had time to finish this. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just want to thank you. I just want to lift up your name. Thank you because you're speaking to us, Lord, some deep things about our staying power as a believer. What is going to cause us, Lord, even to have a staying power that at any one time, Father, we can, at a short notice, you can call us, Lord, even to jump up at an assignment because we are ready. I pray that, Father God, you shall lead us into the truths that will make us ready, Father, even for your assignments in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that we shall desire to acquire this knowledge in the name of the Lord. Help us to familiarize with your work and the way you deal with us, Lord, so that we will be ready, Father God, even to jump up into the fields, Lord, and do the works of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. You've called so many, Father God, even to work and to do the work of the ministry. And Father, we qualify because we've been baptized into the one body of Christ. And Father God, in this generation, which assumes some form of godliness and denies the power of God thereof, I pray that we shall not be like that generation, but we shall be people who respond to the call of ministry. We shall be men and women who will plug ourselves in to ensure that our spiritual batteries are completely charged. Father God, when we have been called to pray, when we've been called to study the scriptures, when we've been called to familiarize ourselves with the presence of the Lord and enjoying a relationship with you, I pray that it shall be our portion, Father. Give us the desire and the will, Father, to respond to those, to the elements that will cause us to have our batteries fully charged to the glory and honor of your name. I pray for each and every child of God in this house. I pray that you shall give them the empowerment, O Father. You've reminded us that you are at work in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Cause us to know that you are doing that work in us, Father, and causing us to will and to do that which is your perfect will in the name of Jesus. When we know that, then we shall be qualified, Father, even to jump into any assignment that you've given us. We give you the glory and honor. If there be anyone in our midst who really needs a touch from you, Father, I pray that you may stretch forth your hand and touch them in the name of Jesus. There may be people who are sick in our midst, Lord. I pray that you may touch them and heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. And to the glory and honor of your name, let our lives bring glory to you. We give you praises and we give you glory. We pray for those who never made it to church this day, wherever they could be or wherever held them up, Lord, you know. And I pray that, Father, also you shall quicken them with the word of your, with the word from your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as we prepare, Lord, even to give our offerings unto you. I pray that we shall do so as a form of worship, and you shall receive the glory. We give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Let's appreciate our pastor again.